I think it was like a $10 or $20 transaction to begin with, and he sent an entire Bitcoin as fees. Talk about the need to learn about UTXO management and how to properly use a Bitcoin wallet.
The irony would be, of course, if they sent out the $2,000 checks to everyone, and then the Supreme Court ruled these unconstitutional, now we owe this money, and, you know, we just see debt skyrocket again.
The best thing for the retailer is you get to bypass the Visa and MasterCard fees. I mean, you're talking about going from a 7% fee down to almost no fee on the Lightning Network.
This is why this is so important. This is why we push Bitcoin to be used as money. You spend and replace, but you use it as money. You ignore all the false narratives about never sell your Bitcoin. These are all complete lies.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Greer and Tony with me. Gents, we've got some bad news to start off with. So this is an accident that nobody wants to make. Bitcoiners, be on alert. So this is a post. Brutal. Someone just tried to send one BTC and paid almost all of it in fees by accident. And you can, of course, go in and see the transaction. It's a public ledger. This is really hard to look at. So I would caution everyone, but Tony, you're the one who has spent the last 2 years training people nonstop, teaching them how to use Bitcoin properly, secure it, leverage it, not leverage it and take on debt, but leverage it properly for their own freedom. Why don't you chime in here first?
Man, this is really painful to watch. Honestly, I don't even know how he managed to send so much in fees. He must be using like a unique wallet. I mean, I haven't come across any system that lets me pump out this much sats to make a transaction. And besides, the transaction he was making was extremely small. Like, I think it was like a $10 or $20 transaction to begin with, and he sent an entire Bitcoin as fees. Talk about the need to learn about, you know, UTXO management and how to properly use a Bitcoin wallet. I mean, this is funny, not funny. I feel bad for the guy because I'm sure he didn't intend to send all this amount. But this goes to show that, you know, this is very new for most folks out there. And it comes from the world of tech. And if you don't have proper training and you're not paying attention, I mean, this can happen to anyone, really. I mean, even an experienced Bitcoiner who's just, you know, in a bad mood or just not, you know, paying full attention, an accident like this can happen. But, you know, it takes training. It takes, you know, focus. You can't just, you know, willy-wally your way through a Bitcoin wallet here, because at the end of the day, this is money and it is a one-way street.
Yes.
So feel sorry for the guy, man. I hope he's okay. I hope that wasn't, you know, all his savings, but it's a good lesson. You know, with Bitcoin, it's all about personal responsibility and really discipline and paying attention here.
Exactly. We are moving away from a system where there's always someone who has your back. There's always a money printer to backstop your bad decisions. And Bitcoin does not offer such flexibility. But that's a good thing in the long term. Greer, what would you add to this?
Yeah, tipping culture is just totally out of control. You know, Mara mined this block and they're happy. A nice tip for the miner. Imagine if you were a solo miner and you mined a block at home and you got 4.125 Bitcoin. That would be, pretty exciting. I think on that thought experiment, if that were me, I would try to find this person and send them their Bitcoin back, because you could do that and you could verify who it was on chain. But absolutely brutal. Double check everything. You know, you can't take anything for granted. It's permanent. The transactions are permanent and they're there forever. This will be legendary. You know, generational wealth sent as a fee. Just, you know, oof. I just think of the oof meme when I hear this. But, you know, hopefully this Bitcoiner gets to live to fight another day and stack some more sats.
Yeah, I would love to see Mara do the right thing and see if they could track this person down and help him out. Alrighty, up next, guys, we've got bad news in the economy. We usually have bad news in the economy. U.S. consumer sentiment is collapsing. So the University of Michigan's consumer sentiment index fell by 3.3 points in November. It's the second lowest in history right now. And we're going to get to a story. President Trump is at it. Don't worry, guys. It's going to get better. Not looking good in the economy. Actually, maybe I'll jump to this one next because we can talk about these together. So the U.S. Trump administration is reportedly working on 15-year car loans. He also posted about allowing 50-year mortgages as well. which obviously increases demand if more people can afford a thing. So that's another subject altogether. But consumer sentiment's bad. Greer, why don't you take this one first?
Yeah, I think that's right. Consumer sentiment is bad. You know, forget about like AI and the layoffs. And I mean, it feels like a recession's been here for years. And now the data is just getting caught up. And I think everybody feels it. You know, everything is more expensive. And I saw an interview with President Trump who said, you know, everyone's 401ks are up, so they're happy. But I'm sorry, if you've got a 401k, that money is locked away until you're 59 and a half. So it's not going to help you unless you have to borrow against it. So yeah, I think money is tight. There's, you know, record high amount of credit card debt. I think it's like $1.2 trillion for U.S. households. So people are living in the only way they possibly can, which is debt. Add on the 15-year car loans, the 50-year mortgage, and it just feels like you will own nothing and be happy. So today is the day. Start stacking Bitcoin. I did a quick calculation. If you spend you know, $837 a month over 10 years using the U.S. average salary of $62,000, and if Bitcoin doesn't go up, in 10 years, you can get one Bitcoin. So, I mean, no matter where you look, there's pain, you know, but stacking sats is definitely the way out of this.
Yes. Tony, I would be curious to hear your perspective as someone not in the United States. Are you seeing similar sentiment, you know, where you travel and where you happen to be right now?
This is terrible news, man. I mean, we're approaching desperation levels that are very similar to that of the Great Depression. We're not exactly there yet, but, you know, at this rate, I don't think it's going to take very long to get there. They're just trying to kick the can. I mean, these are just, you know, very reckless and irresponsible ways to, you know, avoid total calamity tomorrow, basically. A 15-year car loan is not a solution. In fact, it makes things worse for you. One, you're hoping your car lasts that long, and two, you're just in eternal debt. It's like a death spiral that you're never gonna get out of. It's the end, guys. I mean, this is there's no other way to put it. I know we keep harping on this, but this is the end, and this is what I meant by we're going to continuously see an increase of creative bullshit like this one to try to pretend it's not the end. But at the end of the day, you know, as long as you are still living within that same broken and corrupt chessboard, your situation is going to deteriorate faster and faster. So the only way to do it, as impossible as it may seem, it's still better than doing nothing and just, you know, accepting your fate that you are going to sink like the Titanic, you know, by remaining in the system. These are not solutions. These are just worthless band-aids that are going to make your life, you know, exponentially worse if you're really not paying attention. And the problem is most people aren't, sadly. They're not listening to these messages. They're not in tune with any proper form of guidance and education. So it's really on to us to reach out, you know, as annoying as it is, sometimes, you know, like from a humane point of view, it's really important not to give up on folks.
I completely agree. And would just add to, I think, Greer's point, a lot of people think they missed the boat with Bitcoin, right? And we all obviously have a very different thesis on that. But either way, if you have $10 a month to put aside to save, what else are you going to put it in? Would you rather put it in censorship-resistant, inflation-proof money that nobody can control or manipulate? Or would you rather dump it into a bunch of companies, most of which are failing and a handful of which are propping up the stock market or government debt that's funding wars? You know, it seems to me a pretty easy decision to make. You're not too late to Bitcoin. And even if you were, it's still the best thing you can put your money into. Swap some of that dirty fiat for the best money ever to exist. Alrighty, guys, the UK, finally, some of their censorship is a public benefit to its citizens. They are blocking a Ledger blog post explaining multi-sig due to, quote, new rules. I'm obviously joking, but I do think you should get away from any hardware wallet that you need to plug in isn't fully open source and supports 5,000 cryptocurrencies. But again, this is another prime example of UK censorship. They really seem in Europe to be clamping down now. We've had a lot of news coming out of Europe. Tony, take this one, man.
The fear is at an all-time high. I mean, the legacy system has always, you know, been petrified of Bitcoin. But now that level of fear is dramatically escalating. They are petrified, my friend, like beyond anything they've ever seen before. And since they know they can't stop it, well, you know, they're trying to clamp down on the information so that the people don't become aware of this. That's the only way they can somehow slow it down, is by blinding their citizens to the truth. But even that is like a useless attempt because, you know, like with everything, news will always travel. You cannot censor or kill all forms of communication, no matter how hard you try, especially when the incentives are so powerful. I mean, Bitcoin is the lifeline of 8 billion people. It's money, right? So when their finances go to zero, what do you think these people are going to do? You either have, you know, one side that's going to erupt in violence, and at the other side is going to look for answers, and you're going to have, you know, a whole bunch of people somehow in the middle with one foot on each team. This is really crazy, man. This is very scary stuff, but we're going to see this everywhere. This is not, I don't think this is isolated to the UK by any stretch. Expect this everywhere.
No, I think we talked about the 1% tax that they've proposed in France now. On unproductive wealth. So if you're a wealthy person, you have yacht, fine art, or Bitcoin, they want to tax you, which ironically mirrors some of the fees imposed by collaborative custody setups. But I digress. Greer.
Yeah, this is just funny. I mean, I'm sorry. Do they know what the internet is? There is no way to keep people from learning things. There are so many ways around this type of measure. It's laughable. And I think they probably are afraid, but if the knowledge is going to escape, and shutting down one web page is such a joke. But, you know, hey, have fun. Go, you know, whatever that game is where you're trying to hit the hamsters that are popping up on the pinball machine. Like, this is, you're whack-a-mole. You're never going to stop knowledge from escaping. So good luck.
Yeah, there are just so many resources. I think if you, like, what's the contention here? That if you can't access this particular blog post from one company, that you're not going to be able to figure out what multi-sig is. I just don't even know where to begin with these guys. It's absolutely insane. Okay, so Josh Mandel, who you guys might remember, I don't remember the prediction he made on the date, but he was within like pennies of Bitcoin's price on a particular day, you know, several months out. Everyone thought he was like a prophet or something, and he was going to crush it again. He had predicted Bitcoin reaching 444,000 by November 8th. And instead, we all know that that didn't happen. He reported losing over 1.2 million on IBIT call options. So a little bit off, you pay the price. Greer, I'll let you take this one, man. I think too many people get caught up in these price predictions, and it costs you.
Yeah, price predictions are fun, and I've done plenty of my own. But you know, good on him for being honest about his position here. I think he's fine financially. You know, this, I think he was playing with this account anyway. And I know we beat up on the strategy and the treasury companies as we should, because it's not Bitcoin in self custody. But, you know, I personally, I'm just sort of over the whole treasury game. To me, this year has just shown that nothing is better than Bitcoin in self-custody. I don't care about the fiat gains. I don't care about what Saylor's doing at the market. I've tuned all this out, and I'm a much happier person. I think there are a lot of people who are genuinely trying to outperform the market. And this is a lifeline for them. And if that's you, go for it. You know, use your trap 401k or IRA funds, do whatever you want. But this isn't for me. So I don't know. That's kind of how I feel about it. I think Josh Mandel is going to be just fine.
I think you're probably right. But I think this is a good warning for anyone who is following, not only Josh, but anyone who is telling you that on a particular date, we're going to reach a particular dollar denominated, you know, exchange rate. Price predictions are a fool's errand. They're fun to talk about, hear about, make. Don't bet your financial security on it. Bet your financial security, not financial advice, on Bitcoin in self-custody. Tony, anything you'd add?
Yeah, of course, man. Just mute anyone who goes on about these silly price predictions. Nobody has a crystal ball. Nobody knows anything. The most accurate price prediction is that Bitcoin's always going up, because it's just math. And but this loss, I mean, yeah, it sucks for him that he lost all this money. I'm sure he's also going to be financially fine. But the lesson here is that even sophisticated investors get wrecked. So if you don't have the knowledge that this guy has, which, you know, I'm assuming is a lot, and he got his ass handed to him in this way, if you're just starting off with this thinking it's like a get-rich scheme, you're going to end up a lot worse than he is. So use that as a very, you know, eye-opening lesson that these stupid games are not for 99% of folks out there. You buy the asset directly, you learn how to hold it in self-custody, that's your win.
Yes. And I think was Greer, former Goldman Sachs or something?
Solomon Brothers.
Yeah. So this is a guy, again, let me just reiterate this warning. This is a guy who knows something about the markets, right? He's been in TradFi a long time. And what I think a lot of people forget is, first of all, you're never going to predict the market perfectly anyway. But with something like the stock market, you could go back 100 years and backtest an algorithm or something like that and get a good sense as to generally what are some of the rhythms of the market. Bitcoin is completely designed to upend the old system. It's only been around for 17 years. You don't have the luxury of that with something like Bitcoin, and it doesn't matter anyway. The goal is not more fiat. The goal is more Bitcoin in self-custody, self-sovereignty. Just stay focused on what matters. All righty. So we got two more back-to-back here I'm going to share. So first of all, Trump announced American citizens will receive a $2,000 tariff dividend. And then he came out and said, but if the Supreme Court rules my tariffs unconstitutional and we owe over $2 trillion in tariff paybacks, it's going to be a national security catastrophe. This is politics on display for all to see. Just classic. And this, I'm not picking on Trump specifically. He's just the one doing this idiot stuff right now. Tony, good times in politics, man. What do you think?
Man, you can't make this stuff up even if you tried. I mean, the jokes just write themselves, but they're not funny in this case, because if he does end up owing $2 trillion back, where on earth is he going to get it from? Right.
Yeah.
So the only way is that magic button, right? the money printer. And if that happens, well, no kidding. It's a complete catastrophe, because it's going to destroy your purchasing power literally overnight. Like $2 trillion. Well, what would that do to your bank account savings the next day?
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, but it's a classic political move to pander to people who are struggling. I mean, we talked about consumer sentiment. There are a lot of people right now who would love a $2,000 check, which I totally understand. I mean, I would love a $2,000 check. I'd just rather not be handed out by these, you know, by the tariff revenue, which I'm a free trade maxi. But the irony would be, of course, if they sent out the $2,000 checks to everyone and then the Supreme Court ruled these unconstitutional. Now we owe this money, and you know, we just see debt skyrocket again, as it does. Greer, what do you think about this?
Man, we are just along for the ride. This is entertaining and just nonstop action. So yeah, I don't know that they're going to send out the checks. It looked like Bessent kind of poured some cold water on that and thought maybe there'd be some kind of tax advantage instead of sending out actual cash this time, but. Who knows? Yeah. And I think we've seen the courts really rule against Trump, and that's been a sore spot for him and his agenda. So, you know, there's nothing we can do except just sort of enjoy the show. It is a nonstop entertainment. You know, every day there's something new and it's impossible to predict. So, you know, that's sort of where I'm left on this. But I agree with you. I think that Americans would love to have some free money. Who wouldn't?
Yeah. So I would not financial advice, but Tony, how would you, if you did get a $2,000 check or, you know, 2000, whatever denomination check from the government, where are you putting that?
Me, I would go directly into Bitcoin. 1900 would go into Bitcoin and I'd go, you know, grab a Steak and Shake or for the other 100.
Spend some Bitcoin, buy some Bitcoin. It's a good day. All righty. So up last, speaking of merchants accepting Bitcoin, this is big news. So Square announced Bitcoin payments are now live. So their 4 million merchants who use Square to process transactions. You basically, if you look at the image, you have the ability to say, do you want to receive Bitcoin payments? Yes, no. Now, the caveat here is my understanding, looking into this, you do have the ability to say, I want to accept Bitcoin to, you know, attract the, you know, business from Bitcoiners, but I want it auto converted into dollars. You also, though, on the flip side of that, have the ability to receive dollars and auto convert to Bitcoin. I think they have like a wallet set up in the background for all of these payments to be distributed to. And then obviously our hope would be that they would call the Bitcoin way and learn how to take self-custody even as a merchant. But this is exciting. So, Tony, I'm going to let you take this one first. I would love to hear your reaction to, first of all, this news, but second, the importance of Bitcoin as a medium of exchange, why that's something that you push so hard.
Man, I'm not always a big fan of Jack Dorsey, but this is definitely a 10-on-10 win. 4 million businesses that can accept Bitcoin and do whatever they want with it just, you know, by updating their existing infrastructure is massive, massive, massive. I mean, if anyone is one of these business owners, this is your logical next step. This is a massive upgrade to your entire business because you're going to be front-running, you know, the non-4 million users that don't have this as easily as you do. Bitcoin as money is how Bitcoin wins. It's the medium of exchange that, in my opinion, holds the most value in all of Bitcoin, because without that, you know, the value has no value. Because as a store of value alone, you know, Bitcoin will get co-opted and it will fail. But when it's used as money, it continues to grow in strength and decentralization, and that is unstoppable. Peer-to-peer electronic cash. This is why this is so important. This is why we push Bitcoin to be used as money. You spend and replace, but you use it as money. You ignore all the false narratives about never sell your Bitcoin. These are all complete lies. These are just there to push, you know, certain incentives that are not favorable to Bitcoin in the long run if most people adopt it. Thankfully, they're not. But, you know, again, these narratives will not go away, but it's up to us to counter them with the actual truth. And people like Jack Dorsey should be really, you know, commended for what he did. This is outstanding work. I'm just really hoping that more merchants will, you know, more companies, there'll be more solutions like this out there to really exponentially distribute and fast track all businesses to easily accept Bitcoin like this.
I completely agree. I would be curious. I assume when like the software update, you know, finishes for a merchant, I would hope that this pops up immediately. So that way it brings it to their attention. It's not like some hidden feature that they have to go hunt down and figure out and hear about in the news. But haven't seen that. Don't know for sure. Greer, what would you add to Tony's comments?
I would say get the kids. It's time to sign up with Square and start that lemonade stand. You know, if you make anything at home, sign up with Square. Get the free reader and then hit your local farmer's market. You know, time to go to the state fair. I think that Bitcoin as a payment rail is moving from being a novelty to being something that people actually will do. This is a great way for you to earn Bitcoin if you have a good or a product to sell. And I think that it's just going to become more normalized. I think it's entertaining for people to pay in Bitcoin because it's so fast. But the best thing for the retailer is you get to bypass the Visa and MasterCard fees. I mean, you're talking about going from a 7% fee down to almost no fee on the Lightning Network. What business doesn't want to save 5 to 7% off their bottom line? This is a huge win all the way around. You know, major kudos to Jack. You know, I'm so glad that this is live. I'm definitely going to start using it.
Greer, what were you saying? You were looking on the Cash App to see, like, there's going to be a map, maybe hasn't updated yet or something. What was the...
Yeah, if you click on the Bitcoin tab within Cash App, you can click another button that says Spend Bitcoin. That will take you to a map where you can find people that are accepting it. I tried it this morning. There's nobody nearby, but I think it's just probably a little too early. And I think over the next, 3 to 6 months, this is going to become very normal. So, you know, it's exciting for us. I think this is going to be so much better at orange pilling people than I've been.
Yeah, I love it. So cool to see the world is changing right before our eyes. So for everyone listening, go find some merchants. You can go buy whatever it is you need using Bitcoin. Support these companies who do make the right decision and start moving us into a better, brighter orange future. Guys, it's been a pleasure chatting. For everyone who tuned in, we really appreciate you being here. Stick around for another minute, learn about the Bitcoin way. We'd love to chat with you. But until next time, guys, have a great day. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Cheers. Hey there. Thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want a backup in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.